Conference is being recorded.
Great.
Well, I suppose we should kind of lay out our agenda for today. What do we want to accomplish, talk about?
I'm thinking we should talk a bit more in depth about the poster and decide who can do what so that we make sure we get that together in time.
I agree. And I would also like to talk a little bit about the paper. I haven't put anything out, but I've thought a little bit about it, and I have more questions for you all.
Okay. And then I also just have...
Very weak. I could barely hear Tisha.
Can you hear me now?
I heard the now.
I wonder if I should get a different phone.
It also sounds weak to me.
Okay, I'm going to go try a different phone. I'll be right back.
Okay. That actually sounded better.
Yeah. she's gone.
Oh, well.
First of all, Michael, I just want to say thanks a lot for putting together the abstract.
Oh, no problem.
It looks really good, so thank you very much. And did you hear back from them after you sent it in?
I didn't get an official word. I know that they're scheduling us for a session.
Okay.
So I didn't get official word that we're accepted, but I'm doing another session as well, another poster and beyond as well. And I sent an email to Jackie saying, just to give you the heads up, I'd prefer it to be on different days so I can be doing both. And, you know, she had already actually sent me an email a minute before I sent her one, kind of crossing paths, saying she was on top of that, so.
Oh, good, okay.
So given that she mentioned about scheduling both of my sessions, it sounds like it's going to happen.
There actually are two?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Super. What's your other one going to be on?
You know, I did the magic one last year.
Yeah?
So I got an invitation. Dennis Pearl and Larry Lesser are doing one on fun in the statistics classroom, and they basically asked me to present the same thing I did last year.
Okay.
So we're going to do a couple sessions on using cartoons in the classroom, singing in the classroom, using games of statistics with Shonda Kuiper. I don't know who she is, but...
Yeah. I went to a presentation by her. I think she did Gridell, maybe.
I think that's right. I think that's right.
But she was really good. I went to a thing she did on projects last time.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so the four of us are going to do like a beyond session, you know, including demonstrations of the stuff.
So, Tisha, you're back.
That's always fun.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Is that any better?
I think so.
A little better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we're just talking about Michael's paper on fun and statistics. Magic, I guess.
Not paper. Poster and beyond session.
Poster and beyond,
Right, so I was just saying, Tisha, that we haven't heard official word that we're accepted, but I heard from Jackie Miller that she's working on scheduling the sessions, and we're in there. So.
Okay.
So it basically means we're in. I don't know if they really had a rigorous review process, but
yeah.
We squeaked through.
Either way.
One thing I did want to mention that you all had chatted about at the beginning of the call that I missed last time was the idea of somehow indicating on the poster that it was generated through the research cluster.
Right.
I think it's a really good idea, as you said in the last call, just to give some positive publicity to the whole Cosmos idea and show that, you know, it's worthwhile investing some time and energy in us because eventually we produce something. And for the next people who are interested in getting involved, to kind of get a feel for it. So I would say, I don't know if you're in touch with Jackie, maybe mention something like that to her. Maybe they can have you guys, you know, put up the four posters sort of next to each other or something like that. I don't know, but it struck me as a good idea when I was listening to the previous call.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I think it sounds like we want to talk about the poster ahead of time. I'm actually happy. I have a kind of a template for like a 3-foot by 4-foot poster that I'm happy to, you know, tinker with a little bit and, you know, put the template for, you know, put the appropriate words in for our project and send that around if we want to kind of use that as a starting point.
Sure.
Idea.
It's basically, you know, a bunch of, you know, colored ovals or somewhat rectangular shapes that you can, like, group in, like, introduction results. Each one kind of has its own different color, and that's a nice, I found that to be a nice theme for a poster.
Okay,
anyway, I can show it to you.
Yeah, the proposal already has a good outline of the content too, so we can we should see if we can put together a draft of the whole poster.
Right.
That'd be great. What kind of time frame on that are you thinking, Michael?
I can do it this week.
Ah, okay.
I mean, if you just want the template for it, I can definitely send that out.
I think it'd be good to have some of the content already in it. Although a template sounds like it might be useful in general.
Right.
Well, should we spend the first part of the call just talking about the content to put on the poster, what we want on there? Hello?
Sure. I think that's a great idea. Is there anything else that we want to cover this meeting besides that? Or are we going to devote the whole meeting to that? It sounds like Chris had some questions, too.
Yes, but it won't take... We can devote most of the time to the poster. And I just have a couple things that I want to talk about, too. But I don't think it'll take that long.
Okay, on the paper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you want to get them out of the way first? We can do that.
We sure can. So first... Again, I'm really sorry. I will get something out. It's probably going to happen next week, though. This is my first week not at the university, and I didn't have as much ambition as I thought I was going to yesterday. Anyway,
well, congratulations for surviving.
I know. It was a great year to have end, that's for sure.
Were you teaching 37 courses or something?
That's what it felt like. it was enough. It was, I'll whine one more time. It was 5 preps in the fall and 4 preps in the spring, with 5 classes in the spring still. And
wait, 5 classes with 4 preps? Oh, 4 preps for 5. Oh, sorry, I had that reversed.
Yes,
yeah. Wow.
So
she does a really thorough job.
Yeah, apparently.
We did hire another statistician, and we will have one back from sabbatical, so next year is going to be much, much better.
Oh, great.
Anyways.
Some of your preps you hope can be used next year, too, huh?
Yes. My next fall is going to seem like a breeze.
Uh-huh.
And we're really excited about it. Plus, I get a summer break in between to help me prepare.
Yeah.
So I have been... I left my notes that I had in my office, and I did not want to go back in this morning and get them. But I've been going through, picking the drafts that we have, and I guess trying to outline a little bit of it again, and then take the pieces that Michelle has put together and put it into my own outline. Now, I know that we talked about this in a call, and again, I left my notes at school. Did we say that we wanted to kind of integrate some of our assessment items from the WISE site throughout the paper, or did we want to put them in at the end? Kind of in an appendix.
Well, I thought we talked about using them as reinforcing examples, but not a primary focus.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
They
so
could be used, they could make things salient. Sometimes things are a little ambiguous if we leave it in generality, so having a specific item really makes it easier to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I would say throughout.
All right.
Yeah, as needed.
And one other thing, I'm going through my emails and trying to figure out what all got changed on the WISE site, and I suppose, so I guess kind of a side note, Dale, if I go to the WISE site and I try to just see the questions, am I going to screw up the responses and such?
No, not at all. People are from wherever are doing it too. The key is if you have a class using it, give them a code, a word or phrase or number or something that all starts with the same several digits, because way at the end there's a place where people fill in a blank with some code, and then we can sort on the basis of that code. And if all of them start with the same several digits, they'll all come out together.
Okay.
But if she answers only half the questions, is it going to be recorded in your database?
Well, I think what we've been doing there is we've been using only the ones who complete the survey, but we have, I think, fractional or partial responses from quite a few other people. And we could dig those out, too, if they'd be helpful. But we kind of thought in general there are people who didn't maybe take it as seriously or weren't as committed to it as the ones who went all the way through.
And I think when I did it, that you have to answer when you go to the next one, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They can just put in XYZ or something and be able to go on, and some people do that.
So when you did it, Michelle, did you just keep an ID for yourself and tell Dale what your own ID was?
No, actually, I didn't. I showed up as a random data point on there.
Okay.
But I did it because what I was trying to do was offer suggestions on changing them. So
I think
since I did it, I haven't done it since we've made the changes.
And that, so I guess, is where my question was stemming from. I wanted to make sure that one question that Michelle had suggested, I don't know what day the email was sent. Sorry, I gotta find it. But it was the question where it had two histograms, one kind of the original population, one of the distribution of sample means, and had an X circled in both. It wasn't a histogram, I'm sorry, it was a dot plot. It had an X circled in both, and they were asked to describe what each, like, what does the X mean in figure A, and what does the X mean in figure B. And that is on there now?
Ah, good question. We made several changes. Well, you know, I can take a look as we're talking here. When you go on.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
Because I was outlining things yesterday, and that was a question that I think would fit nice.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know for sure if it was in the artist or on the artist site, and I didn't want to screw things up by trying to.
Oh, it won't screw it up if you go into it and just. Okay, so questions 1 through 4 deal with the histogram, with asking what do the numbers on the horizontal axis represent, what do the numbers on the vertical axis represent, and then how many people got a score greater than 4, and how many people took the test and are represented in the graph. So there's that one.
That was one of them.
Okay, and then the next one is we have these two distributions that... we're asking who has a larger standard deviation, Professor Smith or Professor Jones, and it's a bar graph where in one case the shapes are the same, except in one case they're spread out more, and ask who's got the larger standard deviation. Reason for it? Remember that one? One's in blue and one's in red.
I think it was March 14th was Michelle's email. And she's in a document called Proposed Alterations to the WISE Test.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, I should look at, what was it, March? March?
March
14th. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know that we have that one. Let me just check my email here and see.
And I don't know if we honestly decided we were going to add it or not. I know we talked about it at a call, or during the call.
Uh-huh. Did you... send me a copy of the question. Maybe it's in that email.
Michelle, that was from you, wasn't it?
Yep, I'm looking at, I have on my hard drive here, I've got current WISE online items and then multiple proposed alterations to WISE tests, both from March 14th.
Okay.
So I think I have a version before I made the change, before we made changes, and then I have the proposed changes. And then I haven't gone back and copied to make another new current WISE online item with the changes. I think what I did to make it was I had gone through and I had, just as I was doing the test, I just copied and pasted everything from the screen into a Word document. And yes, I see in the proposed alteration, you're looking at that last question,
the very
right?
Last one.
Yeah. Is there a difference between what is represented by the X circled in A and the X circled in B? I think they added that one, because I'm pretty sure that after we sent that Dale and Amanda got back and said that they had done that.
Okay. And I was gonna make
I'm
sure.
Just looking here to see. It's not in the first ones here. I'm just kind of going through the WISE site right now. Whoops, please complete the questions. I'm trying to dash on through it, and it won't let me do it without answering all the questions. Okay, questions. Well, in any case, we should, if it's not on there, we want to include that one. I'm thinking it's maybe not on there, unless it's way at the end there.
And the other, one last question I have, and I hate to keep making...
Oh, here it is. Yes, it is. We have questions on question 16. It's the one with the distributions with the X circles. Got it. Okay, great. Sorry.
The other thing, I hate to keep making this longer because it's already very, very long. But did we ever talk more about adding the question with sampling distributions for proportions?
I seem to recall that we did talk about it, and I thought we decided that we were going to try and stick to the means, no? I might be recalling incorrectly.
I didn't hear what you said you recalled.
I thought I recalled that we were just going to cover means.
Okay, that's fine with me. I just don't have it recorded anymore.
I remember the discussion, and I remember that we thought, well, maybe we'll try both, in order to see whether they really get sampling distributions from both of those contexts, because we were talking about how some people teach it first with proportions and some people teach it with means, and does the way we teach it affect the understanding. So at one point we said maybe it would be good to add that to be able to distinguish whether they really get sampling distributions or whether they only get it in one context. But then I think we never wrote up questions to address the proportions. I think we said maybe it would be good to add it in for further analysis, but I don't think we ever did it.
Okay.
And then I think at a later call we said let's stick to means. So I'm okay with sticking to means. Could you go ahead? What were you saying?
Oh, I don't think that was me. I thought I heard somebody else. I'm echoing. That's the problem. Is it okay? Can you guys hear me just fine?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay.
I'm with my phone today. So we're just going to do means?
I said, at the point, let's stick with the means. That's what we've got.
I just wanted to make sure when I'm thinking about the outline, so...
Yeah, well, the data we have now, we don't. I mean, we just have whatever is on there now. We can at any point decide to make changes to the maybe based on as we do some assessments or calculations on what we got. Did you look at the stuff from your classes that took it? Is there maybe some questions aren't working out very well, and we could do revisions based on that too.
I actually did not look at my class yet. I scanned through it when I first got it, but I haven't really done a full examination of it.
Yeah. Well, maybe after...
And I'm about to give it to my class next week.
And I forgot to do it with my students, but I have another group that has a May term that's going to do it for me.
Yeah, well, maybe after we,
So we don't know, Dale.
but after we look it through, we might find that some questions would work better if we changed them, and other questions aren't working mm-hmm. well at all. We can drop them and add in some others and so forth. But maybe we'll have a time when we do a new version of it and put that up, put it all together at one time.
Any more questions, Tisha?
No, and I will... I have family coming to town tomorrow and staying some Monday, so I'll probably on Tuesday sit down and work on this and get something sent out next week.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
Sounds great.
So should we move to the poster?
Sure.
Okay, let's see. We've got... You've got the three goals, the literature and pre-represent the assessment items or assessment tool, and then the third goal is understand misconceptions to improve the teaching and learning of basic statistics. So do we want to do a section in the poster on each of those? The understanding misconceptions, kind of give some examples of responses that we got to some of our pilot testing. You know, show in the development of the assessment tool, we can give examples of some of the questions. This is the concept we were trying to get at. This is the original question. This was the revised question. And then parallel to that, under understanding misconceptions, try to show what kind of responses we got and how it helped us to refine the question and how it helped us to understand what the students were and were not getting.
Yeah, that is a nice logical flow. And I think the kind of starting point with things that people misinterpret or get wrong, if we can have some fairly salient example that one can see just walking by or a nice graphic of it, would be great and catch attention.
It'd be nice to make it something sort of that attracts attention, and I think it would, if we can, it seems to me that it would be nice to show somehow the developmental process of going through, okay, this is the startup. Are there prerequisites? Are these the prerequisites? Can we want to test it? So we come up with these questions. Coming up with these questions, what do we learn from the students? And so we kind of show the research nature of it from the point of view of the research cluster, but also give some concrete examples.
Now, I think that is a nice logical flow to it. There's a limit to how much we can put on, and we won't be able to cover everything.
Yeah.
We have some nice examples to work through.
Michael, what are you thinking?
It sounds good. I mean, I'm having a hard time kind of visualizing what exactly the poster is going to look like, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm in a different dimension here.
What's the title that we have on it?
Michael, as our paper, which is something like Towards an Understanding of Prerequisite Knowledge of Sampling Distributions.
Okay.
I can double check what I sent.
I like the towards as the beginning. I think that gives a good feel for it. That we're not quite there, but we're heading towards that direction.
Right. I agree. It'll take a minute to call it up at home, not at work. So.
I've got the abstract in front of me. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. What is it? Does it should have a title, no?
I copied it from your email and put it in a Word document. I didn't copy the title, but I have the email right here. Find it again.
I've got Toward an Understanding of Prerequisite Knowledge for Sampling Distributions.
Sounds right.
Good. Well, so is the thought then to how should we begin it with an example or with most everybody who's ever taught statistics recognizes that this is a serious problem. Understand sampling distributions.
I kind of like the idea, when I think of posters, I always think of them as being a little bit catchy, and I like the idea of using questions somewhere, and this is very much off the top of my head, but something like, do your students get sampling distributions? Why not? Do they get variability? Do they get distributions? Something along those, just to kind of draw people's eye a little bit. And then, do you know, and the next thing to be, do you know whether they get variability or sample or distribution, something along those lines, rather than make it look like a paper, have it be more a little bit interactive.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm expressing myself well, but
no, I agree. For a post, the format's different from an ordinary paper because you want to engage people in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
One could have examples of, you know, what's wrong, or students say the darndest things. You know, here's what they say about sampling, just, you know, or give some examples maybe of the, maybe some of the most surprising ones. You know that graphic where we have the sampling, the population, and then the various sample distributions, and so many people pick that one constant value? I mean, that was really striking to me. You know, we could have something on there that, you know, this is what students do. Do your students do this? Would your why do students do this? You know, what are they missing? But something like that might capture interest, you know, because that really surprised me, frankly. I wouldn't have thought many students would have picked that option.
Mm-hmm.
But something with a good, nice graphic might be a good way to take advantage of the medium.
Graphically, yeah. I don't know, I sort of visualize, you know, a couple different kind of three columns or three sections. I don't know, what is your template like, Michael, when you talk about having a template?
Yeah, basically, you know, a column which is kind of introduction and a column, you know, we can set it up either like a paper or, you know what, let me send out, let's see if I can get online to what I need. I can send out the template that, let me send out a template right now. Let me just do that.
Okay.
So you have a sense of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, we may want to adapt from a paper format, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think having some. Well,
I'm just trying to think of it from the point of view is, you know, we've got these three goals spelled out in the abstract, so they should come through in the poster. And so the first sort of thing, sort of framing the question, is, you know, do your students have trouble with sampling distributions? Why might that be? Could it be that they're lacking, you know, the basic prerequisite knowledge such as this, and this? And then the next sort of column could be, well, how do you know whether they're missing these prerequisites? Do you have questions that address this, and then kind of give some examples between it? You know, a question maybe that really gets at the concept of something more basic that you could, like I think some of the examples where you ask a question and somebody can get it right with totally having the wrong idea of why they got the right answer. We had a couple of those in the pilot data.
Yeah.
And I thought those were great for seeing, oh, wow, I can be writing test items that I'm marking correct and this people have no idea what's going on. And then, and the last one, the section on, you know, well, if you try to write questions like this, what do you learn about your students' understanding? You know, can you figure out where their misconceptions are? So something to provoke a little bit more thought to in the, whoever comes to see the poster about assessment items and writing questions.
You know, we had talked about, you know, how much of the poster we want to frame around the process that we've gone through and explaining
mm-hmm.
that to people. I wonder if maybe we could have kind of like a, you know, middle track of the poster where we go through the content, and at the bottom we even talk about, you know, here's what happened first, here's what happened second, and we kind of draw a diagram that kind of shows them the process as well. I don't know if that makes sense.
Can you say that one more time?
You know, so my vision is to have, you know, a title up top and then kind of the middle, let's call it two-thirds of the slide, of the poster, is the content that we want to display. You know,
okay.
Do your students have problems understanding this? Don't we all cover sampling distributions? Hey, this is an important topic. That's kind of what, you know, and then what we've done. At the bottom of the slide, kind of, you know, start with a number one where we have the end, you know, understanding why students have misconceptions about sampling distributions. Then we, like, have an arrow from that to the beginning of the slide, which is when we started doing the literature search. Then we have an arrow beyond, back to the middle, where we do the assessment items, you know, kind of following the actual chronology of how we did this, even though that's not how we're going to present it. I don't know if we still want to do that or not, but it's kind of just a thought.
No, I like that.
I think it's a great idea because the audience you're looking at is, you know, all teachers, people who are very keen on teaching because otherwise they wouldn't be at this conference. And I think that there's a lot to be learned from the process of reading some literature, figuring out what's difficult, and learning how to write good questions to address that. I really learned a lot from this process, from that point of view. So I think that would be a great thing to share to that particular audience.
I think that it could be a great thing to do. We just need to keep in mind. We just need to make sure that it does it in a helpful way and not a distracting way.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're going to have to keep it fairly limited in terms of the number of different, you know, how much detail we can go into on the poster. We don't want a poster that's just full of text, you know, crammed with text.
Paper. But also, I think often with a poster, if you can sketch out in fairly broad detail, I mean, pretty broad images, what you've done, then people who are interested will ask lots of questions, which is a lot of the value of the poster sessions, is that you can stand there and discuss with them. And especially if there's a couple people there, I don't know what time, if there's a particular time when you do this, but, you know, if all three of you are there, then that would give ample opportunity to discuss with different people.
Right. Yeah, if we...
Very easy for me to say because I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, this idea of contrasting questions that probe and one, those that don't, you know, like traditional question, here's how people answered, and yet here's another question that uncovers these misunderstandings. I think that's eye-catching and very interesting, and lends itself nicely maybe to graphics too, at least the ones on the sampling distribution graphic.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm trying to think also, you know, the cause who has sponsored us to be doing this for a couple years, a lot of their goal, from what I understand, has been that this is making outreach sustainable. Is that what the MOS is for, I think?
That's the MOS.
Yeah. So I think that it's important that whatever we put together, it have a focus on sharing with other people something valuable that they can use. And it seems to me that for a wider audience, the sort of the process of going about this may be more valuable than the particular context with which we decided to do it, which is understanding sampling distribution. So I think if we can do show both of those on a poster and provoke discussion about both of those, that might be valuable.
Right, kind of showing people how one can look at questions, look at responses, and dig deeper, try to think in terms of what are the underlying concepts and how can you diagnose it, how can you use questions to diagnose it.
Actually, Michael, while I'm thinking about it, remember the session in Portugal that we went to? His name escapes me at the moment, but the guy from Australia who was trying to get a pool of good assessment questions together.
Larry.
Nope. Yes, Larry Weldon.
Weldon, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard anything back from him or been in touch with him by any chance?
Yeah, we were in touch once since, and it's just. It seems like it's not moving forward. You know, I kind of pointed out to them, like, well, there are these other websites that have stuff, and then it basically boiled down to, if I remember correctly, too many people have too many different ideas about what makes a good assessment item.
Okay.
You know, and everybody has their own needs for their own classes, and so and no one had the time to really devote, you know, a full-time job to it.
Okay.
So it never really took off the ground.
Okay. Um, Well, this is the conference is coming up in a month, right?
The U.S. COS?
U.S. COS.
Yeah, it's like 5 weeks.
So should we try to set some goals for, let's try to have a rough draft and kind of figure out who's going to do what so that we can make sure that we get something together before then?
Do you think it's a possibility? I don't know which one's harder. If we think of, again, these sections for the poster, we could each or some of us take a section and outline things and send it to one organizer who puts things together on a poster.
Right.
I think it might be a disaster if we all are working with a template and trying to fill in pieces without seeing what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need. I agree. I think we can split up as much as we want, and then each person takes responsibility for that area.
But somebody's got to then put it all together, integrate it, and make sure it all fits together well.
Right. I mean, I'm happy to kind of do the manipulation of that.
I just looked at the templates you sent, Michael. I like them.
Great.
They just look fun.
Oh, now I got it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the color I just think adds, they're really simple to do, and the color adds a really nice addition. If you go to print preview, you have to make sure you say fit to one page so you can see the whole picture. That might be the default already, but...
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's very nice.
So far, it hasn't arrived at my computer.
Well, it made it all the way over here in Monaco, Dale.
It's still circling the moon for me.
It was quite funny. My daughter was kind of fascinated by the phone yesterday, so I was calling her on my cell phone to the home phone. I was 4 feet away from her. And I realized for a second that it actually went up to a satellite and came back to my house.
It's incredible.
Like,
isn't
every once in a while, you have to take a step back. Is that not crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. How did it get there so fast?
Is there
a little bit of time delay, though?
No.
Not at all. Huh?
It didn't seem like there was any time delay.
Chair, one thing, just with you rapidly, I'm working with a woman in my PhD program who lives in New York, and we actually talk twice a week. We have a Skype conference call twice a week, but we both have Skype and we both have the webcam. So we do read an article or we do something to prepare for this, and it's fantastic because then we can sit there, we can look at each other as if we're having a face-to-face conversation. And it makes a huge difference to be able to see her face, because if we're going over something and I'm saying yeah, but it's obvious on my face that I don't get it, or she's saying yeah, it's obvious on her face that she doesn't get it, it helps us figure out, let's review this again. But we've probably talked for at least 20 hours in the last couple months for free. And we actually see each other, and this is, overseas. It's incredible.
Wow.
Well, my technology is wonderful.
Still hasn't come through to me now. It may be that we're having a hold up on this end. I'm being moved out of my office where I've been the last 20 years. They're renovating the building and just taking everything out. So things are a little messed up, and I think that's the computer center, so the computers may be decombobulated on this end too. But I haven't got... So maybe just check that you had my email... usual email that you've used?
It's on the list. It was the same list that Michelle sent to in response to her message. So Dale Berger is on there. dale.berger@cgu.edu.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it's still in hyperspace, but I'm sure it'll come through then.
Your email doesn't seem to like us, Dale.
I know. We have good trouble, don't we?
His email was.
What is this, the final size of this poster?
3 feet by 4 feet.
Okay. Is that the space that we have?
That's the typical poster is. We can double check that, but
okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was last time.
I'm looking at the one you did, your assessment and reset assessment of learning objectives.
Yeah.
And you get actually quite a good bit of information on there.
Yeah, you can. It seemed like the right font size and everything too. I had actually done some, you know, looking up what a good font size was for posters, and that poster won an award for best poster at the session, so it must have done something right.
fantastic. When you print it out, it was readable, all of this.
Yep.
Which is good.
Yep.
Okay. Very nice. Well, should we, if we've got something like this, let me just look at the first one.
So the first one, if you look at the first one, so that's actually what, you know, I, again, for the other poster I'm doing for US COTS, I actually kind of partitioned it up and everyone's working on their own section within the poster, and then I'm going to bring it together.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Michael, which of these two templates do you see fitting best with what we were talking about?
If we look at, let me call up the US COTS one. So if we look at the US COTS one, I guess my image is that maybe we would take kind of like those bottom four sections and call that, you know, introduction or motivation, literature, assessment items, whatever else, that we could separate it that way, push the whole thing up, and then at the very bottom kind of draw a kind of chronological map of the process.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that the top majority of the poster is the real content. The bottom piece is the chronology, so that someone who's interested in just the chronology and the process of this kind of research can look just at the bottom of the poster and ignore the content, so that it's not merged in together.
I think that's a great idea, because I think there'll be some who won't care that much about the particular content, but for whom the process will be of interest, and then there will be others that are interested in both.
If we're going to divide things into sections, I would be happy to do the lit review part of it. And just, Michael, did you say that you're willing to kind of integrate everything?
Yeah, I'm fine doing that.
Okay. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I thought I heard you say that.
Yeah, no, I did. I did. That's fine.
So if I just do bulleted lists and such and send them to you?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Then I can format it, and then we can comment on the formatting together. Maybe we should plan to talk again beforehand.
Right.
And I'd be happy to do the section on the process. What are the other ones that we can do? Right about developing an assessment item. And picking out a couple of assessment items to sort of what are we thinking? If on the assessment items section, developing assessment items, do we want to talk about the goals of our assessment items? You know, saying that we tried to define in that section, do we want to just show some items, or do we want to talk about how we were trying to define a concept and find examples of similar questions using artists or WISE, and then change them to make them open-ended? And then come up with multiple choice. Do we want to put that in the assessment item development section, or is that too much?
I don't know whether. I mean, I guess we can either take the approach of kind of minimalist approach and just put down what we think are the crucial points and then flesh out details, or we can take kind of a, is the word, is maximalist a word? You know, a maximal approach where let's put down a whole bunch of stuff and then we'll consolidate it as necessary onto the slide, or onto the poster, I mean. I'm not, you know, the first one takes less time to prepare, but it's going to take more time to get the extra stuff if we need. The second one is going to be more efficient if we want more of the information. But I don't, you know, usually it's always somewhere in the middle.
a just write it approach is what we want. Why don't I take a section on this assessment item development and see how much I come up with, and then we can get rid of stuff. So I'll go for a maximalist for that section. How's that sound?
Okay.
Uh-huh, it just arrived.
All right, so Patricia, there's something on lit review.
Yes.
Development of assessment items. What was it?
What was the other one? Because, Michelle, you said you're doing assessment items?
Yes. What was the third thing? Better understanding of misconceptions. To improve teaching and learning of basic statistics. So that one is like where we take, show some of the responses from some of the pilot data and say how we use that to better understand people's misunderstandings. What do you see in that section?
Yeah, I think some responses would be nice, especially with, you know, again, a graphic display of what people, you know, what we presented and what people say is, you know, interesting, catches the eye.
I think one of the questions for us, I know Dale had talked about at some point, maybe even bringing a laptop and allowing people to do the test if they want there.
That'd be a great idea.
Am I attributing that correctly, Dale, to do it next month?
Yeah, no, I think that can work. In fact, I did that last time at U.S. Cross.
I guess we need to confirm
that. Oh, I think I did some of yours. Did you have one on hypothesis testing there, Dale?
Well, I had the Y site with the interactive applets and things.
Yeah, I think I did some of those.
Yeah, a number of people came up and kind of played with them. It's fun, again, taking advantage of the medium, that you can do that, or you can't do that in the paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you want to try that, Dale? Would you be able to do something on the understanding the misconceptions? You were talking about liking the one that the question that Michael had about the sampling distributions and how people picked the picture where they were going one bar because they thought it was going one sample or something along those lines?
Yeah, so something along the lines of identifying misconceptions or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one that comes to mind. There was that sequence of things with histograms where one question seemed like they knew what they were doing and then another question found that they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That could be good. How much space do we have?
This is 3 feet by 4 feet, so pretty big.
So it is quite a bit of space. So a couple of examples might work. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can put together some items, some graphics that... that we can work with. I'm just trying to get a sense of how this will all fit together. But I guess that'll be Michael's problem, huh?
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. Ideally, the sooner you guys can get me stuff, the better for me, so I can start piecing it together. I mean, I imagine at this point, given that we have 5 weeks, we really should not let more than 2 weeks go by before we have something.
At least
the first draft, because it might need some... going back and forth to finalize it.
I'd say it's highly likely that it will.
I mean, that could happen on email, but...
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to be out of contact for quite a bit of the little period of June 3rd to the 22nd, so I mean, I'll try to get done what I can before then, and hope I can make contact in between.
Right. Give us power of attorney in between to make changes as necessary or something. But...
Absolutely. I have full confidence.
Well, should we try to set a goal, and or let's not just try to set a goal, let's set a goal for, what's today, May the 20th?
Yep.
You want to say by June 5th, something like that, try to get, it gives us 2 weeks, try to get a rough draft of this together. That way you got plenty of time to play around with it, because you're, especially if you're going to be putting together the other one too, Michael, that you've got, you're going to be working on both of these.
That's separate. There's other stuff I'm working on too, but, you know, whatever, this has to get done.
Yeah, no, I know, but I mean, they both have the same deadline, let's say.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, I don't know whether we need to necessarily have a phone call at the next step. You know, maybe we can, if you guys want to get me stuff within 2 weeks, I can spend the next day or two after that getting it all together, and then, you know, we can offer email comments on what needs to happen next, update it again, and then have a phone conversation or something. I don't know what's most efficient of our time. I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether maybe a phone call is the most efficient way of doing it.
Well, let's see what you have. I mean, if as you're putting it together, you think it would be useful to have a phone call, we can do that. And if you think we can do it by email, we can do that.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds good. So would you like us to get material to you by what date?
If you can get it to me by, like, the first few days of June, like the first or second or something.
Okay.
And then I can work on it that week and send it out by the end of the week.
Okay.
And then that would give us 2 more weeks after that. 3 more weeks. Almost 3 weeks after that. 2.5 weeks after
okay.
that. To get stuff finalized.
That sounds good.
So let's call it June 1st. If we can do it by June 1st, that would be great.
Okay.
Monday.
Okay.
Monday, June 1st.
Okay. I think we've got a plan.
And should we set up a time for our next conference call before the U.S. Cup? Do you want to set up one before that, or no need? We just play it by ear.
Well, if Michael feels we need to, we should for sure. But if he doesn't feel that, I don't know if we need to. I mean, we could. I may be not able, but we could see. We can. You want to? We also will of course meet at U.S. Cops too.
Well, but we need to have the poster finalized beforehand.
Oh, you think so?
It's usually a good idea.
Probably a good idea.
Don't want to get printed while you're there.
Right.
The PowerPoint presentations can always be altered in the hotel the night prior to but a postcard.
Right.
Well, maybe we should block out a tentative time just so that we can save it.
And then cancel if necessary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we do sometime the week of the 8th? That'll give me time to integrate it all and send it out.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we'll work for me.
What?
Anytime, any day will work for me.
Okay. Michelle, you probably have the greatest constraints.
Same. No, the only night that I don't like to do it is Friday night.
Yeah, any other time is good for me.
Well, this is a Wednesday, same time, same station? Wednesday would be June 10th.
Wednesday, June 10th. Okay. In time,
in
place.
I'm wide open.
That's fine.
That sounds good to me.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Well,
get to it then. And I am sorry I'm not going to see you all at U.S. Cuts, but. but have a good time. And does anybody know, has there been any communication amongst the groups that you know of to kind of doing tonight or, you know, prepare a little speech or something to the RAB advisors to thank them for their kind of efforts and guidance over the last couple of years? Anybody talk to anybody from any, anybody have in touch with anybody from the other groups as well?
Great idea. I have not heard anything about that.
Right.
So I think it would be nice to, you know, I don't know what, even just a little brief speech on behalf of everybody, you know, at one of the get-togethers, but just something to show our appreciation.
Right.
We might have an old email.
Yeah, I'm sure we have email addresses
that
we could send out.
Okay, well, idea to think about.
I mean, if you want to send out an email to everyone without the RAB folks, I think that's a great idea.
You just say, is there anybody interested in organizing something or put together a little thank you speech on behalf of all the research members?
Yeah, you know, I would frame it as, you know, even if there's any idea we can have, you know, if anybody wants to be the one to speak or something,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if we want to, you know, gather $10 from everybody and actually buy something for them, and I don't know what that would be. I don't know if that's too much organization and planning.
I think that might get complicated, but more than that, I'm thinking that there's so many of them that you wouldn't want to sort of recognize one person or two people. You know, there's different clusters. There's so many RAB organizers.
Well, so maybe you allow each cluster to thank their RAB folks, and then you actually, you know, just offer, you know, a thank you gift or whatever to Joan and Dennis or whoever.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know,
all right, okay, I'll send out an email asking if anybody's interested in organizing that. And since I'm not going to be there, then I'm a good one to send that out because
right, you can't be volunteering yourself.
Right. Right. We'll see if anybody else wants to volunteer.
Yeah, no, that's a point.
Okay.
I think I like the idea of somebody from each cluster talking a little bit about, you know, the folks that they've worked with, and then something overall for Joan.
And Dennis, too, I think, is a good idea, because she proposed the idea, and he okayed it or something along those lines, but for both of them. Okay. All right, I'll sign the email addresses of the other groups and send something out.
Okay.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, talk to you guys in a couple weeks, and we'll have stuff off to you, Michael, then.
Yeah, and whatever you guys get it done, definitely send it along.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Good night, everybody. And you can think of me this weekend as you see the Grand Prix on your new TV station.
Yeah.
big weekend here in Monaco. And I'm getting out of here.
All right.
So, all right, one of these days y'all have to come over and you'll be able to see the Grand Prix live.
Well, we can practice our grant writing skills to try and get us funding to get out there.
That's right.
To get out there. Yeah, well, surely all you statisticians, there's got to be something that you can study at the Casino of Monte Carlo.
There you go.
All right, well, take care, everybody. Talk to
thanks.
You soon.
Okay, thanks.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.